Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
And I welcome Professor William Damon, Bill Damon, Stanford University, the Hoover Institution, but the author, Bill Damon. The book is A Round of Golf with My Father. Subtitle, The New Psychology of Exploring Your Past to Make Peace with Your Present. Bill, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. And we begin with your father, Philip Arthur Damon, Jr. of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. A young man in 1944, a momentary pause in his early Army volunteer drafting experience. He came home from his bivouac before the big push, Operation Overlord, and the conquest of the Hitlerites. However, he met a woman named Helen, a young woman just as himself, and they married your father. You were born within the appropriate months and never met your father when you were a child. Where did he go, Bill? What do we need to know about him before we explore all of the mysteries? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you. And my father went back to the front. He went back to Germany and never came back. So all I knew about my father when I was growing up was that he was missing in World War II. Nobody seemed to know exactly what happened to him, or at least they weren't telling me. And it wasn't until about age 20 that I found out that he actually stayed in Germany. He did not come back, but he was not really missing. He was missing from me and from my life.
Philip A. Damon, Jr., comes from a successful childhood in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. He was a very good golfer. In addition to the fact his mom and dad were well-to-do, not wealthy, but well-to-do, and had placed him at the superb Andover private school. Superb. And he'd also gone on to Harvard College. You knew none of this as a small child growing up. His experience in the military is profound. You're reporting here. What about the military was compelling to your father, you know now, that might have suggested why he stayed in Europe?
He, when he was in the military, and this is what I found out decades later when I finally found out enough about him to do some research and got interested in him. He was in radio intelligence. And at some point, he was assigned to be a temporary guard at a detention center in Lichfield, England. He stayed after the war because he was ordered by General Eisenhower and Eisenhower's staff to testify at a trial about how the Lichfield detention center was being conducted. During that time, my father was in England, he was in London, and I found from my research that he was in a very dramatic situation. He was responding and answering to his country's call to be a witness at this trial, and he was also enjoying London. He was a very young man. He was only age 22 when I was born, and part of the story is that he was having a good time in London. So there were a lot of reasons, I think, that he stayed over there, partly because of his duty, but also partly because he was enjoying England and then Europe later.
You're a professor of developmental psychology. And so in this book, I learn a great deal about your field, which has been evolving in the course of your academic career, from your graduation from Harvard until now at Stanford University. And in your field, because you have a great amount to say in this book about developmental psychology, Do you recognize now in your studies what it is that made it impossible for your mother and your grandmother? Your grandfather left you in 1948 with multiple sclerosis. He passed away. But your grandmother and her friends, your aunt, to tell you all those facts that we've just laid out. Do you understand that now in terms of psychology?
I do. Part of it is a cohort effect. That's part of developmental psychology. All of us are shaped by the age that we grow up in. And people in that era, the era of my parents and especially my grandparents, especially in New England also, that's partly a cultural issue, were not very open about their feelings. They kind of toughed it out in life. That was part of the steely tradition of the people living in the greatest generation, and also partly the Yankee New England tradition. And so they didn't talk a lot about what happened, and they didn't feel a need to share with their child all of the what I think they thought of was the unseemly part of life.
Attending to your mother, Helen Myers. Ellen marries your father in 1944. It's a wartime marriage. These things are commonplace at the time. There's lots of talk about them. And then afterwards, the war brides, for example, the young men who married English women. All of these stories can have happy endings, but generally they did not. They went in different directions. Your mother is one of those. She spends some years thinking your father's coming home. 4 years, to my understanding, from 44 when he left her to 48. She has a brother, Jerry. Jerry influences her to file for divorce. Is that correct?
Jerry was actually her cousin. And yes, when my father never came back, and you're absolutely right, for about 4 years, my mother expected my father's parents expected him to return. When it finally dawned on everybody that he was staying over there, and he had found at that point a whole career in Germany as part of the United States War Department and later the State Department. When they finally realized he wasn't coming back, first of all, his parents, who were staunch New England Yankees, basically disowned him. They were appalled that he would abandon his wife and especially his child. And my mother gave up on him. She, I think, had a bit of a breakdown at some point and was very upset. But within a couple of years, she got her cousin Jerry, who was a lawyer, to file papers. And they became divorced, and she went on. She was a devout Catholic, and she went on to have the marriage annulled by the Catholic Church as well.
Yes, and a successful career woman in a generation where this was rare. Because she had opportunity, challenge, necessity now to make her own way with you in the world. And she's living in Brockton. She joins an advertising firm, a prominent advertising firm. This is Mad Men period, as Bill tells us, the Mad Men. And women were in the office, but not regarded as equals. And so, therefore, the pay was poor. But that doesn't stop your mother from going on to becoming what we would say today was an entrepreneur. Making shoes.
Right. Fortunately, she was tough and resilient. And even during the days of her advertising career, which was the 1950s, she wasn't treated very well, but she stood up for herself and developed enough of her reputation that she could move on to other careers in the fashion industry. She later designed shoes for some companies and then eventually, over the years, actually started her own little company. But she was a very early career woman. This was long before the age of women's liberation or any of that. And she was one of the people that pioneered like her had a lot of talents. And after a lot of hard knocks and bumps, she came into her own with her own career that reflected her talents. And I feel very good about that. It took her decades to really get there, but she stayed with it.
We've given you the outline now to understand some of the terms of Bill growing up. When we come back, how Bill learned about his father not being missing in action, not being dead, and what he did or did not do about it. The book is A Round of Golf with My Father, The New Psychology of Exploring Your Past to Make Peace with Your Present. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Awake, debatable. Hungry? Absolutely. Your morning routine consisted of scrambling to find your phone, wallet, and keys, and you're already out the door. Slide into 7-Eleven and grab a breakfast bundle. Grab any breakfast sandwich, like our delicious sausage, egg, and cheese waffle sandwich, waffle tots, and a Monster, Celsius, or Red Bull to jumpstart your day. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for